3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family is in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his most precious word. Beloved.
What a great joy it is to be here this morning. And when I look out and realize that God's people have come, and they have come to worship our great God, and they've come by the grace of God. They've come because of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here today. We continue to worship now as we open the scriptures, and I would join you right, ask you right now to join us in prayer, and let's go to the Lord and ask his help as we study this passage this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for just allowing us to be here. Thank you that you have gathered your people. Thank you that we have come to exalt you and to magnify you. Oh, Father, we've been reminded this morning that that takes place only by your grace through the giving of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. We praise you for Jesus. We come to you through him. We know that is the only way we can come. So we come rejoicing and full of gladness and thankfulness that you've made the way through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, you've saved us, and now you desire that we grow, that we become like Christ. And God, you've given us what we need for that to take place. Thank you for your word. Father, we ask for your help by the Spirit today, that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be open, our minds would comprehend by your work in them today, this truth that's before us. We would give you glory and praise and honor because we know that you'll take it and you will transform us and sanctify us today by it. We give you glory. We praise you. Look forward now to what you'll do in our lives this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to consider today the great unity and diversity that we see right here in this local church. God gives us a glimpse of the total church, and he gives us this glimpse in this local church, Faith Baptist Church. And yet when we realize the many differences and the serious limitations of simply being human that exist in this body of believers, from a human perspective, we will never accomplish the purpose that God has given to us. When we look at ourselves, when we look at our differences, when we look at ourselves through human eyes, we will never accomplish the purpose that God has given to us by our own efforts. Unity and oneness and togetherness and purpose and mission is impossible. There are too many obstacles. There are too many differences, hindrances that we face. The Apostle Paul knew this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, Paul has declared and he has described the great positional blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We as believers are connected with Christ. The phrase that Paul uses over and over and over again is that we are in Christ. We are connected to Jesus Christ through faith. And because we are in Christ, then we have received the riches of God's grace. And who we are and what we have and what we do as individuals and as a church is all in that connection with Jesus. It's so important, critical, when we understand our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul thinks about these things. And as he contemplates the mystery of the church and his ministry to the church and the mission of the church, he begins to pray. See, this last part of chapter 3 is a prayer. He knows that believers and churches cannot accomplish God's purpose in themselves because they will look at Him, they will look at one another, they will look at circumstances around them, they'll look at their own resources, and they'll lose heart. Look at verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. We get a glimpse of this. Paul says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So Paul realizes they will face this challenge. And so he does the very best thing that he can do for them. He prays for them. He prays for them. And he prays specifically that God would enable this church in Ephesus, both Jew and Gentile, this one new man, this body of Christ, to be the church that God wants them to be the church that God designed them to be. And brothers and sisters, this same prayer is for us. He prayed for them, and yet we understand that He's praying for us. And so, Faith Baptist Church, we step back and we ask ourselves this question, so how can we do it? How can we do it when we look around and we see the differences and we see the great diversity and we see the mission that God has put before us? How can we do it? How can we be God's kind of church? How can we accomplish this purpose that God has laid before us? How can we minister and serve as the body of Christ on earth? And so this morning, in this last part of Ephesians chapter 3, let's look at Paul's prayer, and let's divide it into the normal parts of prayer, and by doing so, understand God's great provision for the church. We begin with verse 14, and we see here the invocation. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, prayer starts with a calling out to God. And as Paul considered the church, he says, "I bow my knees." When I look at that statement by the Apostle Paul, I have to say that my first reaction to this statement is, I know exactly what Paul's talking about. Because when we begin to consider the challenge of unity and ministry and purpose in local churches, it drives us to our knees. It drives us to prayer. You see, this is an act of submission and humility. And notice, as he prays, he addresses the prayer to God the Father. But he qualifies it with a statement that he makes in verse 15. He says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now remember the context here, because he's talking to the church and he's talking about the church. And yes, God is the Father of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, whether they be in heaven or whether they be on earth. In Christ, we are all the family of God. And as Paul now considers the church and he lifts up the church in prayer to God, he considers it, who it is, what it's to do, he comes to the Father in prayer. And folks, this is an example for us. See, we would ask the question, do you pray for this church? Do you pray for this body of believers? Do you take this group of people who are so different yet united and one in Christ? Do you take this body of believers to the Lord? Do you pray for this church? Do you pray for unity, for power, for ministry? Because folks, we can't do this. We can't be this in our own strength, with our own resources. We must depend on God through prayer. Now look with me at Paul's specific requests. We see them in verses 16 to 19, and I'll read that part of Scripture. Paul says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As we read these words, then we notice, or at least can identify, four specific requests that Paul makes for the church at Ephesus and for us. Notice verse 16. First request is this. He prays that they be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Folks, if we are to accomplish our purpose as the body of Christ, if we're to accomplish our purpose as this local church in this place, as the body of Christ right here, then the power must come from another source. We do not in ourselves have the ability or the power to accomplish God's purpose. You see, in ourselves, there'll be division. There'll be discord. There'll be defeat. There'll be failure. Paul here prays that God would strengthen us with power. And how does that happen? He says, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. So this is the source of power. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to live our Christian lives. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that people who are different can be one in the church and accomplish God's purpose. We think about that, and perhaps it's a good time to just step back and to ask ourselves, well, how much of what we do is through the Spirit? How much of what we do as a church, as members of this body, how much of what we do is by the Spirit? Someone said this, if God took the Holy Spirit out of the world, most of what we Christians are doing would go right on and no one could ever tell the difference. Think about it. Folks, it's only through supernatural power that we can truly be the church that God wants us to be. But how easy it is to do things in our own power. How easy it is to trust in ourselves and to depend upon ourselves. You see, God designed us. God has connected us with Himself through Jesus Christ so that what we do, what we say, how we minister, how we serve to bring glory to God must be done by the power of God. And that's our big challenge, isn't it? That's our huge challenge as individuals and as members of the body of Christ and as a church itself, that what we do will be done in the power of God and not in our own strength. This means that we need to be controlled and yielded and obedient to the Spirit of God. And yet we ask the question, how does this happen? Look what Paul says. He says it happens in the inner man. The inner man. So Paul's talking here about the believer's innermost being, the spiritual part of man. We would identify it as the mind. The Scriptures talk about the heart, the inner man. This is where the work of God begins and then extends to the outer man. And folks, you can be sure that when the inner man is fed regularly on the Word of God and seeks the Spirit's will in every decision, that man will be strengthened with the power of God. So this then becomes the key to ministry and mission in the church. When believers are being renewed in their minds by the Word of God and submissively seeking the Spirit's will through the Word of God, then we will accomplish God's purpose. We'll accomplish His mission for us. And notice what Paul says here, that the divine resources that make all this possible, here's how he describes it, it's according to the riches of His glory. This is the unlimited, inexhaustible, boundless riches of God. Based on everything that God has done for us, based on who He is, then we can be strengthened with His power. And folks, this power is unlimited. It never runs out. It never dries up. It is according to the riches, He says, of His glory. And the riches of His glory are infinite. It's always available. It's there. It never runs out. And it's only in this strength by the Spirit, in the inner man, by the riches of God's glory, that we can be the church that God wants us to be. That's the first request. Look at the second. Look at the second request. Verse 17. Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so the result of this strengthening of the inner man is that Christ dwells in our hearts. Now we see that. Don't think about the indwelling here by Christ as that which takes place at the moment of salvation or at the initial point of salvation. But this word that he uses here, it literally means to be at home. That Christ may be at home in your hearts through faith. So through faith, through believing what God says, then Christ will be at home in our hearts, in the inner man. Paul is saying that Christ will settle down and make Himself at home in our lives. He's describing a deep fellowship. He's describing a close fellowship. It means that Christ is the center, the focus, the head of our lives. So we step back and we ask ourselves this question this morning. Well, would Jesus Christ feel at home in my life? Could Jesus sit down and relax in my life? Could Jesus be right with me in what I say and what I think and what I do and what I see in my life? Think of it this way. As Jesus goes through every room in your life, can He stay? Can He settle down? Can He sit in the recliner right beside you and pull the recliner up and kick His feet up in your life? Relax and be at home with you in your life. You see, when He settles down in our lives, we will function in unity and accomplish God's purpose. Believers will get along. Believers will serve together when Christ lives and dwells in our lives. There's a third request. Look at verses 17 to 19. Here's how Paul says it. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. And so yes, there must be love, and this is divine love. This is the love of God. It is sacrificial. It's giving. It's a love of choice. It's a selfless love. It's not based on the qualities of the one loved, but by the free choice of the one who loves. And Paul uses some words here. This is a love that is rooted, he says. So it's deep, it's stable, it's nourishing. And if you can picture a healthy growing tree that spreads out its roots deep and wide, then this is the picture of the believer who is rooted in the love of God. He says this love is grounded. It means it's fixed, it's solid, it's sure, it's immovable. And if you can picture in your minds the massive foundation of an ancient building, those huge stones that are long and they're wide, and the whole building rests upon that foundation, those huge stones, then this is the picture of the believer who was grounded in the love of God. And see, Paul could give no better illustration of the importance of selfless, sacrificial love in the church. See, this is the root. It's the foundation of all personal relationships. This love that has been spread about in our hearts by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, will pour itself out into a footing that brings people together in unity and purpose. See, that's what Paul's talking about. He knew what a challenge it would be, not only to these Ephesians, but to churches everywhere. He says this to the Ephesians, and of course saying it to us, what a challenge when God brings people together, people from different places, people from different cultures, people with different languages, people that look different. You see, all together into one body, and he knew what the challenge would be. Look at verses 18 and 19. Because when we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, then Paul says that we will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So length and width and depth and height all point to size and dimensions, but it's a size that can't be measured. It passes all understanding. Another way to say it is this, that God's love is so immense that it can't be calculated. And this is the very love that gives us the enablement to fulfill our purpose within this church. My heart was blessed yesterday. There were many opportunities to love one another yesterday. And you know, there were a group of people here that loved Sister Elaine. Sister Elaine, you were loved yesterday. They came out and they helped her move, and they moved her from one place to another. There was a group of people that came out and they loved her. See, that's the love. That's part of this love. There was a group of people that loved Narcisse and Lorianne yesterday. Had a wedding here yesterday. Love took place yesterday. Folks, no Christian has ever pray for power or love. In other words, God, give me power. God, give me love. Here's the reason I say it. He's already given it to you. It's yours. You have power. You have love. It's given to us out of the inexhaustible supply of God's riches. And so we look at these requests, and they're all connected. If we are strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man, then Christ will be at home in our lives. And if Christ dwells at home in our lives, then we will be rooted and grounded in love. And if we're rooted and grounded in love, then we will be... Well, look at the last request, verse 19. You put all those together, and then the result is that you may be filled with the fullness of God. This is not the only time that Paul talked about the fullness of God. He did here to the Ephesians. He did to the Colossians. filled with the fullness of God, he says in verse 19. And the idea here is that we may be filled up to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, understand this. This is not to be filled as God himself is full. He's God. There is none other. We cannot be the fullness of God, but we can be filled with a measure of His fullness. Another way to say it, we talk about it a lot. Another way to say it, we can become Christ-like. We can grow spiritually. What's the end result of that growth? To become like Christ. To become godly. We can grow into the image of Jesus Christ. We can move toward that complete, mature man that is like Jesus. And as we grow in that fullness, then the qualities and the characteristics of God Himself will be manifest in our lives. And it's then that the unity and the function and the purpose of the church can be put into practice. Folks, no Christian ever has to worry about inadequate spiritual resources to meet the demands of life, because the resources are all there. They're all given. They're available. God has provided it. All we need do is accept them and use them. And you know what you call that? Faith. Faith. It's faith that receives them. It's faith that uses them. We walk by faith. We live by faith. God, by His grace, gives us these riches of His glory, and we receive them by faith. We trust Him. We depend upon Him. We receive them. And then finally, look at the benediction, verses 20 to 21. Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So as Paul prays and he considers these resources, now think about it, he's considering the challenge that the church faces, and then by the Spirit, his mind goes to who God is, what God has provided, and all the resources that are available to the church. It's no wonder that he breaks forth in praise. So this then is a fitting doxology to this section on the church. Our great God deserves honor and glory and praise for all that He has done. And that's where Paul goes in these last statements. Because when we use the power of the Holy Spirit, and when Christ settles in and is at home in our lives, and when we are rooted and grounded in love, when we are being filled to the measure of God's fullness, then God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Look carefully at verse 20. Because there's a progression of God's enablement. Paul says He is able. He says He's able to do. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. He says He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that we ask. He says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. And so Paul seems to go to the limit of his words in describing what is available to the believer by God's power. And this power works in us. And frankly, folks, many of us believers don't use it. Sometimes we are cut off from the source of this power. Unbelief, unconfessed sin, careless living, lack of love can all cut that connection. You see, it stops the power, or it hinders the power. It becomes an obstacle to that power. A Christian who has been disconnected will not be able to be used by God. But those who are connected can be used in a marvelous way, an amazing way. And so why then does God do that? Why would He share with us His power? Is it to build great churches for our glory? Is it to bring honor to our own efforts? Is it so that we can boast in our own achievements? And of course, the answer is no, no, no. Verse 21, Paul says, "To Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." To God be the glory. And what we do in His power together in the church will glorify Him not only now, but do you see what Paul said? To all generations. In other words, it just keeps going and going and going to all generations forever and ever. Think about it this morning. For all eternity, you and I, the church, will be the manifestation of the wisdom and the love of God. And what we do here right now is preparing us for eternal ages in the glory that we are to give to the one who has done it all for us. And folks, there's only one correct response to this statement. And Paul gives it. Look at the last word in verse 21. What word does he give? What word does he give? What word does he give? Amen. Amen. So be it. This is true. What a prayer. What power. What love. What grace. What praise. We look at the words of the Apostle Paul as he ends this section of this letter. What a prayer. All this has been provided to the church for the glory of God. All that is needed in this church to accomplish our purpose, God has given. So the question is, will we use it? Will we believe Him? Will we trust Him? Will we obey Him? Let's bow our heads. Father, it is so easy as Your children to be so focused on the moment at hand. And Father, we should be focused. We thank You that each moment, each hour, each day, we can trust You and depend upon You. And yet we praise You this morning because we see a glimpse here given by the apostle of Your great provision, and a provision and a power and resources that work now and will work throughout all eternity. Not only an immediate impact, Father, but an eternal impact. How we thank You. We stand in awe. We worship You for who You are and what You've done through Jesus Christ for this group of people called the church. And Father, specifically even for this group of people right here called Faith Baptist Church. Thank You. Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here today who's not connected to You through faith in Jesus Christ, that today would be a day of mercy and grace specifically for salvation in their lives. God, save them. It's You who saves. Open their eyes and open their hearts to You, God. Bring them into fellowship with Yourself and with us as Your people. Save them. Father, as Your people, just help us to keep our eyes upon You, to even look at this passage of Scripture and to think about it and meditate upon it, bring glory and praise to you for what you've done and what you're providing. Oh God, help us to be grateful people, thankful people for this great provision. And Father, as we look at one another and we look at the differences and the diversity that exist in this body of believers, may we just praise you that you have brought us together and that we can be the church you want us to be as we respond to you in faith, submission, obedience. Thank you for all you do and have done and will do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.